than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. It is Purple Friday, baby! That's right. The Ravens, they are excited to get their first home game of the regular season in up against the Browns this Sunday, and we are here for your Purple Friday preview. Joining me, as always, is my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
And we made it through the week. Coming upon Purple Friday, the first official one of the home series, obviously, but home game this weekend. I'm fired up, man. I can't wait to be down there. I've already gotten my gear ready, getting the game plan ready for the morning. This is fantastic. Happy Purple Friday, Ravens Nation.
That's right. The M&T Bank Stadium is going to be rocking on Sunday. They're already getting excited for all the new player videos that they're going to be releasing on those new 4K screens. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but everybody's talking about the 2017 defense and how it compares to that Super Bowl 37 defense from the year 2000. And a lot of members are going to be in town because they are going to have a Super Bowl 35 reunion the night before at the Pier 5 Hotel, and those players that are participating in that reunion are coming to the game on Sunday, so they will be able to tell us firsthand what they think of this defense. I mean, I know you're an expert and you love this team, but I'm going to listen to Jonathan Ogden and Chris McAllister and a couple other players a little bit more than you.
Oh, I would assume so. I mean, they lived and breathed it and they experienced it. They were the 2000 defense and the Super Bowl 35 champion. What I find awesome about that, though, is, you know, how they're always connected to the team. Whether they are retired, whether they go playing on other teams, these players are connected for life, and they are part of our whole culture, which is just fantastic.
Absolutely. So before we get into this game up against the Browns, we do have to talk about some of the injuries that happened over the last week or so. Danny Woodhead has been put on IR. That means he's going to miss at least 8 weeks, and we won't see him, if at all, this year. The soonest we can see him will be week 11. So, Josh, what does this mean for this team going forward? Danny Woodhead not going to be there until week 11. It seems like they have to pivot one more time, and we've seen this a lot on this offense, and we'll be going without him. Who do you think is going to fill in for him?
It's a devastating loss. It's just all around. I mean, you see how involved of the game plan he was on Sunday, this past Sunday, before he got hurt, and he was just coming out firing, all systems go, and it's going to change the scope of the offense. It's going to get the ball into other playmakers' hands. Buck Allen, Terrence West got more carries, but what I find interesting is, as I mentioned on the Red Eye Review this past week, Jeremy Langford was on a practice squad. Because of the move of Woodhead to IR, Jeremy Langford comes into play here. He got promoted off the practice squad, which I did foresee happening here. And what it just gives us is a real good opportunity to see what we can do. We have a triple threat now at running back. But we do lose is a great pass-catching ability in the backfield as Woodhead brought. And being out to week 11, let's hope the body work carries us to maybe a top spot in the AFC, one of the top spots, maybe an AFC North title, and we're getting there. And if we can get healthier during the season, maybe keep everything to a minimum, we get Woodhead back. We get that weapon back right at the end of the year where we can march to the playoffs. So that's another thing that I'm excited about. Let him get fully recovered. Let him come out and let him see what he can provide as far as a back end, as far as December football here in Baltimore.
That's right. And Jeremy Langford, do you know anything about this guy? Is he a good talent? I mean, he was cut by the Chicago Bears. He's coming off an ankle injury. Do you have any kind of information about him? What type of player he is?
Yeah, a little bit of background. You're right. He was a formidable back with the Bears after the Matt Forte days there. He came up and coming, and whether it was due to play or injury, other than that, you really have to go back and look on some of his good days. I mean, he was a great fantasy back for all fantasy enthusiasts out there. I really enjoyed watching him play, but I feel like he's got to get the job done. Now he's not going to start right away. Let's put that to rest. But he's going to provide a good depth for running backs. But also what I've seen from him is he just comes back and works. He's a workhorse. You know, whether he has a bad game, I saw his interviews with the team. You know, I've heard some great things about him. But I really being the pulse on the Bears, I've really yet to read a lot about him because not only did he sign the practice squad because he wasn't really high impact to the team. He wasn't signed as a Danny Woodhead. He was going to be immediate impact. So, to be honest with you, other than that, I really have a really vague knowledge of seeing him play. But what I've seen him play, again, that was his heyday. I don't know what he's going to be like now, being that he's older, signing the practice squad, bringing up. But I feel the Ravens feel that if he's going to be on the starting 53-man roster, then he's going to be a good job for the. He's going to be a good man for the fit there, and I really feel like Jeremy Langford can provide a much needed breath of fresh air because he's going to need to spell Buck Allen and Terrence West because these two can't get done, man. They're human. They're going to get tired, and both carried the load. I mean, I think we ran the ball about 45 times last Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. So to put the load there, I feel like Langford's going to provide some relief and some much needed spark on the running game.
All right, so Za'Darius Smith, John Harbaugh came out and said that the injury isn't as bad as they thought. He is going to be missing this upcoming game against the Browns, but they do expect him back pretty soon. So no IR for him. But looking forward to this game on Sunday up against the Browns are going to be without their number one overall draft pick, their defensive lineman, Myles Garrett. He's dealing with a high ankle sprain. What does that mean for the Ravens?
Well, it means that they're one last pass rusher to get out to Flacco, I'll tell you that. I was wanting to see what this kid can bring, and I was disappointed that he wasn't available for the Steeler game. Now I'm excited, obviously, because we play him, and he's not available for our game, but I really can't wait to see what the guy has. You know, they went all in on the number one draft pick here and Myles Garrett. I heard the kid was just an absolute beast out of college. I've seen game film on him countless times, and I'm really impressed with what I've seen. I'm really happy that he's not lining up against us, but I'm excited to see. But for years to come now, the foreseeable 3 or 4 years, once he's healthy, we're going to have to deal with him, or we're going to have to deal with him on the back end because this is game number one against the Browns. If he gets healthy, we're going to have to go to Cleveland and play them and really see what they're made of in Dallas with healthy care. So this defense was great. I mean, they kept Bell in check without Garrett, so it's just interesting to see his impact on the defense. They're really going to get better. And you know how it is here, you know. Za'Darius Smith out, not as serious as we thought, but we can only get better with adding these players just like Woodhead on offense. So I feel like Myles Garrett's a win for us, just like when Burfict and Pac-Man Jones were out for the Bengals. But still, you cannot take this defense lightly because they kept Pittsburgh in check, man, especially in the running game, which was a very surprising stat last Sunday.
That's right. So Le'Veon Bell, he was not an impact whatsoever last week up against this Cleveland defense. And it's weird to think of, I mean, no offense to Cleveland and Browns fans out there, but it's kind of weird to think of the Cleveland Browns as being like a big impact in the AFC North. So there's definitely going to be some competition this year, and the Browns are definitely going to be a part of that. Like you said, Le'Veon Bell did not make a huge impact last Sunday. He kept the running game in check. We saw what the Ravens did last week. The Ravens definitely counted on the run. They kind of used it to run out the clock in the third and fourth quarters. Joe wasn't throwing that much. So how are the Ravens going to have to adjust now for a team that took the running game of the Steelers and made it a complete non-entity?
Well, they're going to have to – you're speaking about basically the Browns defense and conforming to stopping our run, correct?
Yes.
So basically what I see happening is they're not going to implement this game plan because obviously we don't have a Le'Veon Bell. I know his fantasy owners, and I have him. They were kind of disappointed in the production. But I was surprised. Like I said, I really thought he was hurt when I looked up, and his stat line was 4 rushes for 8 yards. It's like, is the dude hurt? Nope, he's in there playing. He just wasn't running. But, again, that was a different situation because Le'Veon Bell held out of training camp, being a diva that he is, and wanted a contract situation and money and whatnot. which he well deserves. He's one of the best backs, not premier back in the league. But what the Browns are going to focus on is they've seen how much we ran. Game films out there. They're going to be making us one-dimensional, saying, you know what? We're going to test Joe Flacco's back. We're going to make you beat us in the air. It's Cleveland Clown Week in the spirit of the movie It. As you're a big fan of that. I know you went to go see it, but I've always said their nickname is the Cleveland Clowns. And but I have a feeling they ain't going to be any clowns on Sunday because what they did against Pittsburgh, I know it was at home for them, but I feel like they have every bit of what it takes to give us a fit, and it's going to be a dogfight, man. I'm expecting a dogfight, and with all pun intended.
And I'm hoping for it. I'm hoping for a fun, interesting game. It's going to be fun to see what the Ravens can do against this type of threat. Do you see Joe Flacco and Jeremy Maclin and maybe a little bit more Mike Wallace getting some playing time a little bit more this game, since the pass rush, isn't going to be as big a threat?
Absolutely. Now, I really feel like Mike Wallace needs to be implemented in the game plan, but he's probably going to tell you otherwise. But I feel like, hey, I'm not worrying about these guys if they're not getting their reps, as long as we can put a game plan together to win the game, Brandon. But I feel like Mike Wallace needs to be involved. I don't even think he caught a pick. Was he even on the stat sheet on Sunday?
I didn't see him.
No. I mean, I feel like he was thrown to a few times, but I know he's seen the negativity's body language, which is great, and obviously he's not worrying about his numbers or his stats, just win, baby, and that's what I feel like what's going to happen. But I really, really feel the Ravens need to move the offense towards getting everybody involved. Get the ball into your playmakers. You've seen what he did to the Steelers last year. Again, this is not the Steelers, but he took that ball, 90-plus yards and ran up the sidelines. Touchdown, Ravens. It's just, we've seen what these guys can do. Perryman, get healthy, get him out in space. Maclin, we know what we can do. He put on the Jets and ran it for a touchdown. West provided some much-needed support in a run game, and that's where the difference was. And it was ball control, run the ball, turn up the clock, especially when we had the lead. But I feel the Ravens need to get the passing game going. This can't be too stagnant, but I say give and take, man. You know it all is the football. You can game plan all week for this opponent, but come Sunday, they might throw something different at you, and the game might give something for you. If they show you a different defense and they're saying, hey, they're giving us the middle slant, let's throw it five straight times, well, just do it. Don't run the ball when they're showing, a zone defense. If they're showing a zone defense, do a draw play. If they're showing all out blitz, call the audible, call that quick slant. You have to give. There's a give and take in football. You take what they're giving you, and if their corners are playing off of you, take advantage of that. But again, man, I really feel like Mike Wallace, Nick Boyle, Jeremy Maclin, obviously, was in the game plan. And I feel like Breshad Perryman, they all need to be involved to be successful. But putting nothing in, it didn't really call for slinging the ball around 30 times. The balance was imbalanced on the run side, but it was rightfully so for that game plan. Whether we get a good balance here and then maybe pass it 30 times or run it 25 times remains to be seen. But I'm for the game plan. Let's see what Browns give us.
So the Baltimore Ravens, they are known to not be nice to rookie quarterbacks. So let's move to the other side of the ball. Let's talk about the defense. And the defense, they looked amazing on Sunday up against the Bengals. They are the talk of the NFL right now. Good Morning Football on the NFL Network said that because of the defense, the Ravens look like they're going to win the AFC North. I mean, they're already putting that prediction after one game.
But you know what's funny about that? Let's say we go out and lay an egg against the Browns, or let's say we win that game and go over to Wembley and lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know what's going to happen there? They're going to roast us, and they're going to say, oh, the Ravens are not going to make the playoffs. It's a week to week. You know how the media is. It's week to week. So you're right. It's good to get the love, but that love's only going to last as far as we carry it. And if the Ravens go out and play a dud, or they barely squeak by, they're going to go, what happened to that defense that so dominated the Bengals? But the win's a win. I'd rather get a 19-20 win on Sunday and be 2-0 in the division, 2-0 in the AFC, 2-0 in the league, than do another 20-0 drubbing and be the talk of the media. I'd rather just go win ugly, but win, just win, baby. It's all I ask.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what we want as Ravens fans. We want them to win as much as possible, but they started last year 3-0, and then we saw how last year ended. I mean, a lot of things can change week to week.
They started out fast both Super Bowl years, not to really put nostalgia in play, but they started, believe me, from 5-1 in the 2000 series in the season, and they started really hot at like 9-2, a 9-2 start during the 2012 season, and they lost those three straight. So anything can happen. And both Super Bowl years yielded a three-game losing streak. But what was crazy about that is 2000 had a seven-game winning streak to cap it off and then four straight in the playoffs to win it all. So they won 11 games in a row. But anything is possible. Anything can happen. A team can get hot just like that. And as we've seen, the team can get cold just like that. But we just got to stay healthy, number one, and we know that that's for certain.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking at this Sunday, the Cleveland Browns are coming in with a rookie quarterback, DeShone Kizer, and the Ravens are a perfect 5-0 against rookie quarterbacks at M&T Bank Stadium. So we saw what this quarterback could do on Sunday up against Pittsburgh. Kid seems tough. I mean, let's give him some credit here. He took, I think it was like seven sacks and got up and was still able to give a fight to the Steelers. But how do you think he's going to fare against this this highly touted Baltimore Ravens defense?
Oh, he's in trouble, bro. And everybody knows it. I mean, if Andy don't look like a fool, we're going to make this kid say, welcome to the NFL. You get the biggest, baddest defense that we can throw at you, and you got him in your own division. Welcome to Charm City. And it's going to be great because I feel like the Ravens are going to display their defense for full power. We have all four Purple Walls going to be yelling and screaming. I'm going to probably be hoarse by the third quarter alone. And if they introduce a defense, which I feel like they're going to start off first, Lord have mercy on their souls, man, because Suggs coming out last. It's going to be nuts. And it, you know what's interesting, though? And I don't know who's going to be a part of the 2000 celebration, but what would be very, very earth-shaking would be if Ray Lewis makes an appearance, because he was nominated officially this week for the Hall of Fame, if you didn't see that. And I saw his little snippet, and it was passionate. I really can't wait to be down in, you know, down in or up in Ohio next August for that. But if they bring him back the way we started this season – the way we start a home game against the Browns, dude, I think the stadium might shake off the ground.
Let me ask you real quick. So Ray Lewis got nominated. So did a lot of other players. Is there any doubt in your mind that he doesn't go in August?
Dude, this world would have to implode. No, there's no doubt in my mind, man. It's he was first ballot the day he stepped on the field. He was first ballot when he was in high school. He was first ballot in college. He knew it. Everybody knew it. He was first ballot when he hoisted the Super Bowl 35 trophy. He knew his destiny. It ended in 2012. Book ended by a Super Bowl victory. And now, man, he gets in. He might get every vote that's cast. I mean, there might be not even room for anybody else to vote in. But he'll be in there, I believe. And we'll definitely cover that as the months and the year comes, you know, into play. But Randy Moss is up there for eligibility. He could be there. Mm-hmm. That would be an interesting class. And I think Terrell Owens' name was out there mentioned again. Didn't get in last year. He's up again. It'd be a great, great class. And he'll be and you know what's great in talking about that 2000? And I know Ray wasn't a part of it in Suggs, which is special, because I'm glad that Ray Lewis, even though they really didn't have a dominant defense, I'm glad that there was two different eras there. And it's special. But you know what's awesome about the 2000 defense is they're still talked about to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody remembers that. They remember the plays got us 2012, but they remember how dominant the 2000 defense is. And when you speak of the 85 Bears and the Steelhurton and what the Seahawks did with their dominant run, and you know, and they held the Broncos in check, and we can go on. I mean, I can bring up the Bucs, 2002 Bucs. These defenses are remembered, but few and far between. It's crazy. You know, I said, hey, this team can do something special in their own right. 2012 was different because it was kind of both sides of the ball. You know, we had the Super Bowl end on 47 with the defensive stop, and Ray Lewis always says, what better way to, what this city's known for, is defense, and to have it end like that. And I feel like what gets me fired up and passionate, man, as a fan that has season tickets and sits there, is I love when the defense is on the field. I love banging on the seats, clapping, hollering, screaming. When they make a play, they bat down a ball, they get up on third down. I can see this now. If we get to win the coin toss and defer it, defense gets on the field first. I love it because I like it when we set the tone. I love it, especially at home, when you get out on first down and second down, you stop them, and you hear Bruce Cunningham, it's third down, and everybody stands as one. It's nothing but four purple walls. It gets Buckish. You see, in the days of old, you would see Ray up on the screen with his arms up and doing this thing, and now Suggs doing it and everybody else, and it's just it creates that passion, and I think the Ravens need to feed off of that, whether it's home or away. What was impressive about the Bengals win, what they carry here, is it's momentum, but it's also a huge road win, and you go make a statement on the road in AFC North in the first game of the year and go, we're on the road, and we do a shutout. Shutouts are hard enough in the NFL, let alone at home. It could be easier because you got the crowd, it's your home turf, you defend your home turf, but you shut out somebody on the road in the NFL, dude, they didn't even kick a field goal. So I feel like the Browns have to keep that in the back of their mind, man. It's like, dude, we just played a great game against Pittsburgh. We came all the way within 3 points. And we playing a Ravens defense who's firing all cylinders. You got a rookie quarterback. By the way, what's that rookie quarterback's? You said we're rookie quarterbacks coming in our house are 0-5. Do you have any idea what their quarterback rating is total?
Yeah, so the Baltimore has held the rookie passers to a combined, so this is 5-0 under the Harbaugh era. The Ravens have held them to 2 touchdowns, 7 interceptions for a 60.2 passer rating.
Really?
That is terrible.
That is terrible.
For them, it's awesome for the Ravens.
It's unprecedented. Who goes on that kind of run?
Just the Ravens.
Who's that? The Ravens. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. I mean, if you look at the body of work of what they do at home, apart from the last few years, well, we have a few home losses that are surprising, but the Ravens take care of business at home very, very well. They have one of the premier home records, especially in the Harbaugh era, and I feel like we're going to get it done on Sunday, man. A couple of my friends and a couple of it's just a lot of people are not negatively talking about this, but they feel like this could be a game that the Ravens can lose. I don't see it happening, and I feel like it's just going to be a raucous environment, man.
And I hope it is. It's going to be a good time for all the Ravens fans in attendance. It should just be a blast for everybody. And I'm very intrigued to see what this defense does up against this rookie quarterback. We know Cleveland kind of invested into their offensive line a little bit. And for the offensive line to allow that rookie quarterback to get sacked 7 times last week, I mean, that's really terrible. And to think that you've got Terrell Suggs and you've got C.J. Mosley and all these other weapons at your disposal in the defense, this kid's gonna have a hard time on Sunday. Do you know anything about this quarterback? Is he more of a passing quarterback? Does he favor the run game? What's some of his strengths, do you know?
Yeah, his strength is he's one of those mobile quarterbacks, just like a Russell Wilson prototype, where he's very young, very athletic, and if you chase him outside the pocket, he might run for the first down. So I feel like the Ravens are dealing with a way different type of pass here, and this is why this game could be very close, because pretty much the way they handled Andy Dalton, he's a pocket passer, okay? So, and that line was horrible on Sunday. Let's not discount that. But what the Browns bring is that dynamic. I mean, they got Isaiah Crowell. They got Coleman at wide receiver. They used to have priority. You know, he went to the Redskins, so and Josh Gordon can't keep his act together. They would have an all-pro receiver if he would just, you know, get his head on straight. But they really don't have any big weapons on the receiving side. So I feel like if the Browns even have a chance on the offensive side of the ball against our defense, Isaiah Crowell's got to make a play, and it's got to be Kaiser with his legs and his arm. But being a rookie on the road in Baltimore with this defense, dude, I don't give him a chance. But, you know, crazier things have happened, but dude, this just screams we're going to give him fits all day long. And I feel like the Ravens got to bring pressure. If they get pressure on him, just like Dalton and Suggs gets a few more sacks, and we get on the sack party with 3 out of 5 sacks and 2 or 3 turnovers, dude, this could be a long day in the office for the Cleveland Browns franchise, because they're going to just go, what happened? And this could be a 45-7 drubbing, or this could be a 17-14 game in the fourth quarter, and we're like, yeah, another nail biter. Do we have to do this again? So, but I really feel it's going to come to getting pressure on the rookie, making him pay. And if he makes a mistake, we better put 7 on the board. I tell you that right now.
All right. So you're saying it could go either way. Let's get right down to business. What's your prediction? What do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to go the way of the defense, and I feel like it's going to be driving. They're going to give up points in this one, but I think if anything, it might be maybe a garbage time touchdown or a field goal. I think the Browns score maybe 10 points total, but I feel like we're gonna win this one 27-10.
27-10. All right, I like that. I think the Ravens are going to come away with another victory and go 2-0. I'm not going to give a prediction for a score, but I will say I would love to see the Ravens start the regular season 2 games up, and I would love to see the opponents against the Ravens to have like a total of like 3 points in between the 2 teams, because they got a shutout week 1. I would love for them to maybe like the Browns to get 3 points, not even a touchdown, in this second game, and show you just how dominant this defense can be.
Could you imagine if that happened?
I think everybody is going to be talking about it on Monday morning, and I think the Ravens are going to be some serious talk coming on. But I do think this will be a close game. I think that the Browns of years past, where they weren't really a threat at all, is kind of gone. So I'm going to be very intrigued to see what happens on Sunday. I think it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a close game. I'm hoping that Joe is able to do Joe Flacco things, and that the defense stands on their head and is able to really come out with no points against or very few points against. Because I would love to see no double digits again for the other team.
Oh, yeah. And I can see them either maybe getting a, like I said before, maybe a touchdown, maybe a field goal. But I feel like maybe we keep them 3 points and a garbage time touchdown. That's why I'm kind of giving the benefit of the doubt and giving them 10.
All right, Josh. So let me ask you. Have we covered everything?
Brother, for the first Ravens home opener weekend, Pro Friday preview, we covered this one. Quote the Ravens, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Brandon always at @TinyQ52.
All right, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us a review on iTunes and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. If you want to talk Ravens football, just leave us a comment there. And usually it's Josh. He'll get back to you, and he'll tell you his thoughts. And what's that?
I'm on the ball.
You're on the ball. That's right. And
gotta be sharp, man. Gotta be sharp. I appreciate it. And me and Brandon were talking pre-show. Me and him agreed. The feedback has been tremendous.
It really has been great. Thank you all so much for listening to our show. I think that's pretty much it, though, for this Purple Friday preview. Wear your purple on Friday. Be strong. Be proud of it. And let's get ready for Sunday up against the Browns. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you always very much for a great show. Purple Friday preview, home edition, first home game. I hope everybody's going to be enjoying this one as much as I will be. Even more so, man. It's just the environment. And being down there, tailgating, can't wait to get the gear ready. The cornhole is going to be firing up. We're just going to have a ball. Ravens walk. I've already got the menu and the game plan ready. We're going to be down there bright and early. Shout out to anybody who's coming to the game. I'd love to see you. Shout out to all of our call members and Ravens Nation and just everybody, man. This is it. Our home debut. And I really can't wait to see what we can bring. We've got the offense, got Flacco, Macklin, Wallace, West, Perryman. And I really can't wait to see what this defense has. Suggs is going to bring it. This defense, man, it could be something special on both sides of the ball or even all three sides. We've got to clear special teamers there and Wolfpack. And I just really feel like this Ravens defense is just really something to watch. And I really can't wait. The 2000 celebration and nostalgia in the stadium, it's going to be awesome. Maybe they'll show cutaways of the dominance that they performed in 2000 all those years ago. And, man, it's just something special that they can pass the torch to these young guys and the leadership of the veterans on this team. Suggs wasn't a part of that. He came in 2 years after that. And all together, it's going to be a Ravens-Brown matchup for the ages. Drubbing is what I called. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high this Sunday.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment.
Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.